and welcome to NSTA, the Bus Stop. This is the official podcast of the National School Transportation Association. I am Kurt Mackison, Executive Director, and here today with Richard Wolfington Jr. He is President of Wolfington Body Company, and he's been a previous guest on the Bus Stop. So, Richard, welcome back.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Well, listen, you know, we had visited your facility a couple times over the past year, and you told us, you know, the great story and tradition about Wolfington Body Company. And, you know, perhaps for folks who weren't in on the first podcast or might have, you know, forgotten about the story, it's such a great story. I'd love for you to go over it again about, you know, how the company was started and, you know, just some background.
Well, we had to go all the way back to the 19th century so that I believe it's the fourth great-grandfather, was a merchant sea captain, took his son on one sea voyage, and he realized that that family business was not going to continue with his son, so got him an apprenticeship in New York City making horse-drawn wagons, where my great-great-great-grandfather made wagons, learned the business, learned the trade, and then he moved south to Philadelphia. Over time, wooden wagons transitioned to the bodies that you put on automobiles, which were horseless wagons, of course, and from there transitioned into a greater and greater specialization of transportation away from the automobile industry, more into trolleys and trams, and then ambulances, and then hearses, and then the school bus industry kind of grew out of the end of World War II and the regionalization of our school systems, and over time from the 60s to 70s to 2020, we are now focused on the passenger transportation industry, which is school and commercial buses primarily, and the servicing and supporting of that. That's 150 years real quick.
Yeah, you got that right. I'm sure it went by like a flash in the pan. But, you know, speaking of which, you know, traditions and long time, you know, participation, you know, Wolfington has been a longtime contractor member of NSTA, but this year you joined us as a vendor partner member as well. You know, we caught up with you on the bus sales part aspect of your business, as well as the parts aspect of your business. Can you talk about that a little bit for us?
Well, we've always been a member. Our separate business is our contracting business, and the dealership has joined because NSTA really is at the forefront of advocacy and education. And as we're moving forward in the school bus business, there has probably never been more change that is coming at us more quickly than what we're facing. And so a lot of our good customers are members, and we just felt that it was overdue, and also to be more directly participatory in NSTA so that we're better able to stay informed, stay ahead of the information, because our customers are going to need that information as well. So that while ultimately all the business decisions will be theirs, we're their partner, we're their consultant as we're moving forward through this process, especially in regards to electrification. In regards to our parts business, that's been a huge piece of our business in the last 10 to 15 years. So we have focused our entire effort on supporting the school and commercial bus industry in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And so while we are a dealer for IC buses, for the Collins bus, for the Glavel commercial bus, Braun commercial vehicles, as well as Berkshire Coach commercial vehicles, we service and support all makes and models across the board. So that you'll find in our body shop and in our parts warehouses, parts to support our competitors' product as well, because not everybody buys an IC bus or a Glavel bus or a Collins bus, and we want to support the entire market. To do that, we've got a parts warehouse here in suburban Philadelphia and another parts warehouse in suburban Pittsburgh. And from there, our trucks depart every day servicing the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware markets so that we're always able to be there, you know, the next day.
Yeah, and you know, we took a tour of the parts department, and it was, you know, pretty impressive how organized and, you know, how, you know, that stuff is, I guess, really evolved, you know, over time, so you could support, you know, all those folks that you had mentioned. And you did also mention the electrification of the school bus fleet, and we'll get to that a little later. But, you know, with, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, and a lot of the changes with respect to the yellow bus itself, and you did specifically mention, you know, how things have been drastically changing over the past several years. What are some of the trends that you see where, you know, Wolfington Body Company wants to get in front of the curve so you can support not only your school district customers, but your, you know, parts and your bus sales customers as well? So what are some of the trends, Richard?
So as everybody knows, you know, we've had such a slowdown in the past 24 months. And so what we're facing now is after 2 years of lighter than regular bus replacement purchasing, we've got the economy has come roaring back. We've got additional funding sources coming out of the federal government. And so what's happened is demand has returned with a vengeance. And so what we're seeing is just a dramatic shortage. I mean, the same things you read about in the newspaper every day, whether it's chips or transmissions or tires, and both from a cost perspective, which has been dramatic, but really the shortages then drive our manufacturer's ability to produce in a timely fashion, so that everything has been delayed, so that we're seeing vehicles that are being built later, delivered later. And so we're having to work with our customers and work through those challenges as they're not able to get the buses that they normally might have gotten in June or July, just because last February, the manufacturers had trouble getting, whether if it's a small bus manufacturer, they've had trouble getting their chassis from Ford or General Motors. Obviously, the larger products are all built at the primary manufacturing facility, but they've had shortages, so that everything is getting dragged out, so that customers are going to be taking deliveries during the school year. Some are going to be taking them at the end of the year. And we're seeing even some of our more thoughtful customers are recognizing that these shortages don't appear to be ending anytime soon. So a lot of people are putting their orders in now for vehicles for next year, because they're realizing that these delays haven't gotten a whole lot better in the past 4 to 6 months. So that the people are starting to have to think about both their ordering and their delivering a little bit differently than they have probably for the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, and that's a really great point, you know, about, you know, trying to modify, I guess, your schedule, or, you know, and I think we often take for granted how in sync, you know, the school bus world really, you know, has been predictable, stable, you know, over the last, you know, several decades. And then, you know, the pandemic came around and kind of changed the way we had to focus on, you know, things. So people would have to, you know, as you mentioned, adjust schedules and such. And one thing, you know, that I think of, because we had gone to, you know, your place to do an electric school bus event with IC Bus, is this whole idea of, you know, in the midst of this and on the hopefully downswing of the pandemic, we're talking about a massive, you know, changeover to the electrification of the school bus fleet. And I guess my question for you, Richard, is, you know, how do you view that changeover to the EVs, you know, going from, you know, traditional diesel power sources to EV? I mean, it's not only just a change in the power source, but it is also kind of a more thoughtful change because of the infrastructure, you know, that's involved with going to EV. So how is, you know, Wolfington Body Company looking at this whole evolution?
Well, you really hit the nail on the head there. It is the first time in my memory that we in the school bus industry are going to go first in the world of commercial transportation. Usually it's the trucking industry that is leading, and then we're following. So by virtue of some of the funding that's been put in place and the emphasis that's been put on place, both the federal and the state and local level, we're going first with electrification. So for us, biggest benefit for us has been the partnership with our primary manufacturer, biggest manufacturer, IC Bus, owned by Traton now, they're the truck partner. And it's allowed us, and they've really put a lot of time and energy into, and this might sound trite, but the bus is almost the easiest part of this process. We know how to build them. We know how they operate. IC has developed the thing that they call the five C's. And so essentially what they're talking about is step one is consulting. Step two is the charging component. Step three is constructing the vehicle and the charging component, connecting the vehicles via Wi-Fi and supporting the product that way. And then the fifth C is conservancy. Obviously, we're doing the right thing for the environment. I believe very firmly that the first C is the most important C, where we need to be talking to customers up front. And IC has been great as a partner in helping educate me, the dealer, in this dramatic sea change where we're going to be talking to people about, do they have enough power at their bus depot? If they don't, how do they bring it in? They're going to have to partner with the local power company. They're going to have to decide how many buses they're planning to electrify. If you're going to electrify two buses, you might need a very simple solution. But if your plan is to gradually convert your entire 100 bus fleet to electric, your upfront infrastructure costs, it might be better to spend a little more today to get the power in place to support that. And so again, the consulting component, I think, is the biggest change as the dealers are not just going to be selling and delivering equipment. We're going to have to be helping our customers through understanding not every application is going to be the right application for a school bus, but a lot will be. So starting with analyzing routes, et cetera, et cetera. So for us, it's Wolfington, and we've already installed a charging station here at our main branch. We're scheduled to install them at all our other branches. It's for us, it's about jumping in and, you know, getting our feet wet, learning some of the pitfalls, learning some of the things that hopefully as we learn our lessons, we'll be able to pass them on to our customers as they start down this road. And while, even though there's been a tremendous amount of conversation thus far, and we know that there's a lot of funding that's coming up, and NSTA has been tremendous in your reporting of the progress and how that information is coming through via your guys' updates. We haven't yet seen huge commitments on electric buses in our area of responsibility here in Pennsylvania, Jersey, and Delaware, so that we're trying really hard to get smart fast so that as this continues, we're able to, our customers don't have to learn all the same lessons we're learning.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I also think that from the NSTA standpoint, the way we're viewing it as well, we're not necessarily, you know, really at a point advocating one power source over another, but we are trying to read the tea leaves here and say, hey, this is something that is fast approaching, probably, you know, at some point for everyone in the industry. We obviously don't want children to be, you know, stranded or put in any jeopardy, with this program. And we also want to give the private operators the tools that if their school district customers come to them and say, hey, we want you to make this transition, that they are empowered to go ahead and move forward and do that. So, yeah, I think it's been great engagement with, folks like you and our OEM partners in just getting the information out there. Because you, as you mentioned, this is really transformational in what it's going to do, you know, for the industry over a long period of time, once we start the domino effect. And you're completely right that we haven't seen that yet. But we know once that first domino falls, then the other ones are likely going to fall quickly afterwards.
And that's why, and I know you guys are pushing hard for helping to get the school bus contractor the same availability for grants and funds that the public entities, school districts, you know, states and counties are getting. And I think that that's tremendously important work because, you know, for the example, in the state of Pennsylvania, the vast majority of school buses are not actually owned by school districts. It's primarily a private industry contracting state. So that if we want this to move forward, we really need to make sure that school bus contractors have the same access to the grants that do other public entities. You know, and that again comes into, you know, our partnership with IC and their understanding that as we're making this huge wholesale change, that the real important thing are boots on the ground. And for IC, that's through their dealers, as ultimately, you know, while people at times will talk about the electric school bus may not need as much mechanical support, fewer moving parts, et cetera, up front, early on, there's going to be a tremendous amount of need for support. Anytime you talk about a wholesale change in anything, you know, you need more help, not less. And so the IC really has doubled down in recognizing that the dealers really are the manufacturers' boots on the ground to make sure that there's successful implementation. You know, these vehicles, it's, you know, every now and again, I'll be with a school board member, somebody who compares it to a Tesla. Well, it's not a Tesla. You know, it's the largest form of mass transportation in North America. Right. And we're making a wholesale change to it. You know, we need more hands helping, everybody learning, you know, as fast as we can, because, again, it's the largest form of mass transportation in North America. It's a big change, and it's not something that you can handle with a phone call or a Wi-Fi update, you know. So we're 100% invested in making sure that our customers, public and private, can get the information they need so that there's a successful transition. And on that score, we're lucky too. IC, of course, being a North American company handling all of the United States and Canada, they've got lots of examples where things have gone well, and they've got other examples where they've gone less well. And it's a big benefit when we're able to get some of the feedback from some of those learning lessons that they've had across the country.
Yeah, that's for sure. So recently, you all had some great engagement with the School District of Philadelphia on a pretty significant purchase of electric buses. I'm sure, you know, listeners would like to hear about that. So what can you tell us, Richard?
Oh, well, so we're very lucky to have just received our first commitment from the School District of Philadelphia for 9 electric school buses. So this started, you know, probably a year and a half ago. We were running ride and drive demonstrations of our electric school bus here in our Exton facility, which I think you guys were able to visit with us on that day. We also did it in New Jersey. And in between, we were able to bring it into Philadelphia and let them get a chance to operate the vehicle, work through the process with them. So we're very, very excited. You know, Philadelphia is the largest public customer we have. And so we're thrilled to be able to be a part of their leadership. I mean, Philadelphia in the state of Pennsylvania has gone first. This, I think, is their third round of electric vehicle purchases, and they're committed to that process. And of course, the electric school bus makes an awful lot of sense in an urban environment with a stop and go where you can take advantage of the regenerative braking that electric school buses have. So we're very excited and looking forward to hopefully a long partnership with them as they work to electrify their fleet.
Yeah, and that's some great news. And one thing I want to mention, and you really triggered this for me, is that at our upcoming annual meeting and convention in Niagara Falls, New York, we also are going to have a electric school bus street fair on a Sunday. That's July 24th. It's going to run from 11 to 2 p.m. So 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it'll be right outside the convention center, you know, where folks can take a look at the OEMs who bring their product for folks to take a look at. And then after that event is over, 2 p.m., the OEMs are free to do ride-along. So if you haven't yet been at one of these events, want to take a look at the technology, we're going to have it up there for you at, you know, the Sheraton Niagara Falls and Niagara Falls Convention Center at our annual meeting convention. So I did want to give that plug in, you know, so folks you know, who haven't been on a ride along know that they're going to have the opportunity to do that at AMC. Richard, a lot of great information. Time is running short, but I do want to give you the opportunity to do a couple things. One is to say, are there, you know, any pieces of advice you can give private operators who, you know, are just dipping their toe in the water in terms of transition to electrification of the school bus fleet? And then secondarily, if folks want to learn more about Wolfington Body Company, how can they get that information?
Oh, very nice. So for us, and it's great that you guys are going to have the the demonstration at Niagara Falls. We're going to have our electric bus is going to be at our state convention coming up at the end of June, the Pennsylvania School Bus Association. And then we're going to conduct our third ride and drive out in the Pittsburgh area coming up immediately following our convention. I guess the only advice I could give that is forewarned is forearmed, so that the more you can understand it, the better off you are, because it is a huge change and it It's important to understand all the facets of that change. You know, as I said, the vehicle itself is as impressive as it is, whether it's mine or a competitor's, is the end piece. The most important part is, how are we handling the upfront infrastructure? How are we handling the grant process? You know, again, this electric school buses right now do not work without substantial outside support. So all those things need to be taken into account. And the school bus contractor, as a private company, needs to be even more informed, because as you guys are continuing to educate us at NSTA, not all the funding is created equal for all the entities. So that people need to really understand the process, even as it is being developed. I understand that's hard, but you just got to put the time and the work in. That's what we're hoping to try to do, so that here at Wolfington, so that our customers, we can give them the benefit of our learning. But there's a whole lot that's coming at us awfully fast. And so that I really think it's, we've got to just keep studying and learning so that we can, so that we have the best outcomes, rather than, you know, the horror story that I've heard in some instances where people get their buses delivered, but the local power entity hasn't yet put the power in, so that they've now got their $350,000 school buses sitting as paperweights because they can't charge them. You know, we don't want that to be the outcome, you know.
All right.
And as to Wolfington, you know, you can look us up at www.wolfington.com. And of course, we're participating in all our state and local events here, and looking forward to seeing you up in Niagara Falls.
Great, Richard. Once again, our guest at NSTA, the bus stop, Richard Wolfington Jr., president, Wolfington Body Company. A lot of great information. I'm sure I'll check in with you over the course of time, and, you know, just see how things are going with respect to this issue. And then, of course, as we wind our way out of COVID-19 pandemic. So, Richard, thank you for taking the time to join us. And as always, good to hear from you, and also looking forward to seeing you up at Niagara Falls.
Thank you, Kurt. Have a great day.